The following program is brought to you by Tower Keepers. Support your local CSN station.
CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live Bible answer program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you. If you have a question on the Bible or the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. That's 1-888-ASK-CSN. Now let's get things started. Here's today's host.
Hi, and welcome to Every Man an Answer. I'm your host today, Shannon Skolton, here to bring you a wonderful day of answering your questions from the Bible about the Bible. We know that there's a lot of stuff that you see on TV, you might hear or watch on YouTube, even in your church and home fellowships and in small groups, that seems odd and you don't even really know if it's in the Bible at all, or where do we get preconceptions about Christianity, and maybe there's sayings you've heard that you thought were spiritual. Well, we're here to answer those questions for you from a biblical perspective, and also answer your questions about the world from a biblical worldview. The Lord knows we need that. There's a lot going on in the world today. There's a lot happening with Israel today as well. We have a lot of rockets being fired currently at Israel, so we want to make sure we keep them in their prayers or in our prayers. The Iron Dome has intercepted some, but to the demise of some have landed. So we need to make sure that we uplift them and keep them in our thoughts and prayers as well all day. Joining me today, we have a special guest who's been on the program many times with Mike Kessler and myself, Dan Steiner from Preborn. He is the man we talk to about what is going on in the world with abortion and saving these unborn babies and their lives and promoting healthy relationships between these new moms and their new-to-be babies. Dan, thank you so much for joining us on To Every Man an Answer today.
Feels like home, Shannon, particularly with the partnership that we've had and the many, many lives that have been saved by CSN listeners over the last years that we've been together. So we're just very thankful for this partnership and to be able to give glory to the Chief Executive Officer of Preborn and CSN, the Lord Jesus Christ, and
Amen.
His Word.
Yeah, amen to that. So what's new in your neck of the woods? I know you always give us a little bit of an update on what's going on with the ultrasounds that you're purchasing and these babies and lives saved. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, we are seeing increasingly greater numbers of women, pregnancies through sheltering in, through unemployment, just leads to unplanned pregnancies, and then a lot of doctors' offices still have restricted access, so that makes our clinics very busy. But we're seeing great success in women coming to choose life once they see their babies on ultrasound. It really makes a huge difference for them. We had a young lady come in yesterday, and she was being pressured by her boyfriend. He was abusive, and she was pregnant by him, and so she was very much wanting to find an easy way out. We didn't make that any easier for her. When she saw her baby on ultrasound, she was very conflicted and didn't want to abort, didn't know what to do. So we're helping her walk through that even now. This happens dozens of times every day here at Preborn, thanks to CSN listeners that underwrite these free medical services for these young women. It's a $300 service, these ultrasounds, but we provide it for free for these girls, thanks to the partnership we have here with yourself, Shannon, and Mike Kessler and CSN. Just very thankful for what the Lord is doing. And of course, our desire is to lead them to a knowledge of Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I think we've got over 2,000 women that have come to Christ so far this year. So it's been a great year for the gospel.
Amen. A lot of people are being saved. There's a lot happening, especially in the realm of abortion. And we see a lot of these states now that Biden has gotten into office fighting back and trying to be more conservative with their laws. especially in regards to abortion and contraceptives, which is a positive thing. We know that we see the church during times of persecution actually flourishing. And so though we're not being outwardly persecuted aggressively yet, not to say that that's not to come, we see conservatives and Christians rising up everywhere to fight the good fight. And the wonderful thing that you guys do that the listeners really need to hone in on is what you said, that it's about bringing the gospel and ministering to these young women and their families. It's not just saving a life, which is beyond anything that we could imagine as being beneficial, not only for the hearts of the mother, but for that baby, for that precious life that was ordained by God, but also that they receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then we can make disciples and they can go out and share their testimony and hopefully change people's lives.
So important that that mom comes to Christ so that the baby, if it's born, comes to Christ. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they both end up in church. And so it's just the whole complete picture of it. Compassion and love. Jesus said it years ago, you know, the greatest of these is love. And it works. That's what we do. That's our services, is loving these women into wise choices.
Yeah, amen to that. Well, we have some phone calls, Dan, so why don't we go to the phones and get today's show rolling. If you want to be part of the program today, give us a call. The number is 8888-ASK-CSN. We'd be more than happy to answer your question. Anything at all, from things that you're dealing with in your personal life to questions about the Bible, we are here for you. We will go to Alicia Jennings in Tacoma, Washington. Alicia, hi and welcome.
Hi there. Okay, I'll just get to my question. And it is, you have the first book of John, second book of John, and the book of Revelation. Were they all written by the same John? And what's the difference between that John and John the Baptist?
Dan, your thoughts?
Yeah, this is the apostle that he describes himself that Jesus loved, arguably probably the one that was relationally closest to Jesus. We see in his gospel that he was the one that was leaning on Jesus' breast during the Last Supper. This is the apostle John that wrote the epistle, 1 John, that wrote 2 John, that wrote 3 John, and the gospel of John. And then was exiled to the island of Patmos, which is a barren rock, because he was a leader in the church. He was being persecuted. And the Lord used that point of isolation to give him a revelation of heaven like no one's ever had before or since. And then he penned the book of Revelation. So that's the Apostle John, who is different than Jesus' cousin, who is John the Baptist, who is the forerunner. Self-described and by Jesus as Elijah the prophet, again coming as it was prophesied that he would. And so these are two different people, Alicia, both named John, and no relation except for their love and discipleship for Jesus.
Alicia, it was a great question. We get questions like that often because, you know, we need to know. There's a lot of Johns, and with the name changes that happen in the New Testament when Jesus called out a fisherman and changed their name, sometimes things get a little confusing. So thank you very much for your question. Hopefully that helps.
I know which one wrote the Revelation. Was it also John the Apostle that wrote the book of Revelation?
Correct. Not John the Baptist, the Apostle John.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Wait, one more time.
The apostle, the same one, as Dan said, who wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and John wrote the book of Revelation. So not Jesus' cousin, who was John the Baptist.
Okay, because John the Baptist, he was killed during, you know, when Jesus was still around.
Yes,
yes,
he was the forerunner prior to Jesus. So yes, they're different Johns. John from Revelation was boiled in oil. So different deaths, different Johns.
Okay. I got it straight. Thank you very much.
Hey, thank you so much. If you stay on the line, we'll get you some books, CDs, and DVDs if you're interested, to help you with your walk. Maybe, Alicia, help you minister to others. Let's go to Chris in Plano, Texas. Chris, hi and welcome.
Oh, hi. Thanks for taking my call. Well, I had a little experience this weekend over Mother's Day and at church. And I was being the Good Samaritan, you know. Pastor and another female leader there at the church kind of failed me. Not me, but they broke my heart. What happened? I'm in Dallas, so I went towards Eagle Pass. Eagle Pass is a border town. Mexico right there. It's just a border town. So I went out there, you know, because, you know, I was invited, you know, Mother's Day. Oh, cool. Nobody, you know, went to church at 9 o'clock or what have you, and I was early. And so a few cars were out there, so I was just kind of tuning in my car, just jamming, you know, till, you know, a few people showed up. Now it's going to go inside or what have you. Then this one guy popped up in my driver's side. Hey, I rolled down my window. Hey, what's going on? I got my cell phone here in charger. I need a charge. I need to charge my phone. And I go, hey, just go right there. You know, somebody will hook you up, you know, right there at that door. Just somebody should be in the lobby there at the church, you know. And so back to my little tuning or what have you. And then eventually about 5-10 minutes later, I decided to go inside, and he happened to be there. And I go, hey, well, what's going on? Oh, no one's in there. Oh, let me see your phone. I went inside. I plugged it up. I saw that it had 6%. And there was a couple of chairs there, you know. And they said, come here. Sit down right here or what have you. And, you know, and then that one of the ladies popped out. She was kind of eyeballing me. And I was like, hey, I do here, you know. And I happened to go back outside of my car. She walked over there with me, and she said, hey, what'd you get that guy in here for? I go, he just needed a charge for his phone. He's an immigrant. And I'm sorry, you know, it's just like, just trying to help him out. He asked for something, you know, I mean, it's just, and then the pastor had to come out, you know, into the lobby, and he was just kind of just being nice to the guy. I said, hey, why don't you charge your phone over there at the store, the local store down at the far end. And I was like, oh my goodness, I couldn't believe what I was seeing in my eyes, and it was breaking my heart. Guy happened to go outside or what have you, and so I went outside, and he was sitting out there, and I just grabbed my wallet, and I hardly ever carry cash with me. I happen to have cash with me, and I give him all my cash. I say, hey, you know, buy you something to eat, get you something to drink. And I say, hey, I'm not giving it to you. Hey, this is God. This is God's money. God is giving you this, not me, you know? And pastor just happened to come out again, and was just kind of telling him to just, you know, go to the store and what have you. And he was over there almost wanting to cry. And, oh, my goodness, I just, like, lost it. I just went inside, went to the restroom. I just cried. I couldn't.
Yeah, you know what, Chris? It's sad and it's heartbreaking because in a lot of ways there are really good people like yourself who want to reach out to people and help people and bring people in and do what we've been called to do as the church, right? To show love, because we will be known by our love. And to have that love that's unbiased and sacrificial. And I know that was really painful and it really hurt you, that is the manner that which that rolled out. Now, that was a person maybe who represented that position in the church or who volunteered for the church, but I would hate to lump that church into that category of the behavior of one person. Sometimes people make mistakes and they have their own biases that God is working on them with. Sometimes things like this happen, so maybe you can go and you can minister to her and help her in love see maybe the error that you thought she committed in her ways towards that person. And it is hard in a day and age right now to be a good Samaritan in our current times because the church does get taken advantage of a lot. And I know that sometimes people don't understand that, but the church also has a responsibility in other ways, not specifically in this way with your phone, but maybe in financially. Everyone comes to the church and they want money and they want help, but there's processes and there's things that the church has to do to make sure that that's valid because they have to steward the money that God has provided that ministry for the gospel and for the kingdom of heaven. And so feelings get hurt and things happen and not everybody stewards everything appropriately. But I would say as an encouragement to you, and Dan can chime in on this thought, that I think that the way that you handled it was biblical and was wonderful and was loving and was compassionate. And I think that the representative of the church might have come off sideways, might have not represented the church entity that was there, maybe to the best of their ability. Maybe there's an unknown trauma or bias that person needs love and care and compassion and help with. And when things like that happen, look at it as an opportunity for you, instead of walking away just being broken, which is beautiful that your heart is broken for the condition of the church and what God has called us to do, but as an opportunity to maybe reach that person or reach out to that church and say, hey, this happened. How can we do better? It's so easy for all of us to condemn and get upset and remove ourselves. It's harder for us to take responsibility and say, okay, I was part of this. How can I help this body or this person be better at showing the love of Christ and help them if there's any bias? Your thoughts, Dan.
Yeah, I agree, Shannon and Chris. In the running of a Christian ministry, you run into many different scenarios throughout the course of every day, and maybe they had some sort of incidents, or maybe there's some, regulations with regard to immigrants. I don't know what their situation is, but I do know what the Word of God says is this: if your brother offends you, go to him first and find out what, air your case before him. And then if that doesn't work, take a witness with you. So I'd be slow to speak, slow to anger, quick to listen, get an explanation from the church leaders themselves. So, hey, this is my take on it. Why was it not, the kind of compassionate response I was looking for? You might be surprised. They might have a valid reason. So give them the benefit of the doubt. The Word of God tells us to, submit to our leadership as those who are under great accountability. The Word of God tells us, be not many of you teachers, for such will incur greater judgment. And so being church staff is a tough thing. Yeah. Being in ministry can be a tough thing.
And you gotta make tough decisions.
I would encourage you to go back.
Yeah. You gotta make some tough decisions. And I mean, hopefully that helps. I hear your heart, Chris. Is that kind of where you were going and what you wanted to hear?
Right. But whenever they were kind of just talking to me and explaining to me and this and this and that, and I just, I've heard them and I just walked off. What came to my head, I started thinking about the Jewish people. And what it was is that a long time ago in the 40s, in World War II, obviously everybody knows about it, but, they used to pack up those cargo trains with the Jewish people as sardines. That was a church right next to the railroad tracks. And as once they were loaded up, they, slowly it built up speed till, eventually it just went away. But while it was picking up speed, it would pass by that church. And these guys were wailing, crying their lungs out. And as they passed that church, a lot of those people, I heard a documentary that they would sing loudly in order to quiet the noise of them crying. And that's what came to my heart. And I was like, I couldn't believe this. I said, all he asked for was just to charge his phone. If that's what he wanted, And I wish I could have talked to him a little bit more. Maybe probably share the word of Christ to him. And I said, hey, I have nothing to do with this. Obviously there's a reason. I don't live here.
Yeah. The Mike Kessler talks about it all the time, Chris, on this program, about the importance of understanding us living in a free country versus the Nazis or even Marxism, and understanding that there's a degradation of culture and life and the appreciation of life and a destroying and destruction of life in the family. And that's what happened during World War II. But also the churches were being propagated and teaching the congregation replacement theology. And there was an air of anti-Semitism that was already creeping into Europe at that time, which caused such this horrible heart and this coldness towards what was happening. And that's what we need to guard ourselves from, right, Chris? We need to guard ourselves and everybody listening from developing biases, allowing the media and the government to control our thoughts and our mind, that we absorb and ingest propaganda, that we turn our ears away from sound doctrine and our ears get tickled by other things. And then that's when the enemy comes in and he blinds us. And there's this shield that's put up and it really blurs our vision on what's happening and then what God has called us to do in our own individual lives. And then also corporately as a congregation to help people. All these things that we talk about are connected. They're not segmented. politics and Nazis and Marxism and good doctrine and scripture and understanding your calling and your walk, all one and the same, because they all intermingle and cross paths at some point. So be encouraged that listen to sound doctrine, read your word, gather that personal relationship with the Lord, help encourage others to speak truth and know truth, operate under the foundation of truth, and hopefully this won't be the America that will turn into Nazi Germany or, you know, Western or Eastern Europe as in the 40s. Chris, thank you for your phone call. Thank you so much for your little history lesson, and I pray that God is with you. Stay on the line, Chris, and we'll get you some DVDs and CDs maybe to help you minister to others, or maybe you can give it to that lady at your church. But be blessed today. Let's go to Amy Ellen. Amy, hi and welcome.
Hi, Shannon. Thank you. I just have a quick question regarding, I'm curious about the flu antibiotics. I'm not just sure how to say this, but, you know, are there any weird things in those flu antibiotics?
You mean like Tamiflu? So the flu is a virus, and so there's antivirals that help with the flu, like Tamiflu. Is that what you're inquiring about?
Well, I'm thinking more of a flu shot.
Okay, the shot?
Yeah. So any weird things like in other... Some shots have weird stuff in them.
So a lot of vaccines, not to cut you off there, but a lot of vaccines have variable ingredients that I wouldn't say are helpful to your body. There's stabilizers and there's additives and there's things of that nature that you're going to, by nature, unfortunately, have in your body once you get inoculated from something, whether it's the tetanus vaccine or whether it's something like the flu vaccine. The things that are super dangerous and harmful are the mercuries and the heavy metals, which the vaccine companies have said that they have eradicated in 99% of their vaccines. However, they've replaced those with other stabilizers, and those stabilizers, unfortunately, have formaldehyde and other things as a base, which cause irreparable harm and damage to your body as well. Now, that being said, does the flu vaccine have anything in it maybe directly related to what's in the COVID vaccine? Is that what you're asking in comparison to?
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah, as far as actual stabilizers or ingredients, there are some commonalities. Those commonalities aren't the problem. Depending on how you look at it, if you're holistic or not, but I digress. They're not the problem. The COVID vaccine itself, what is in the mRNA vaccine and how your body receives it and how your body is weaponized and the DNA altering and the changes in the nanoparticles and all of the other things that are associated with COVID vaccine are the issue versus conjugation and stabilizers in other vaccinations, which though are artificial and produced and not natural, still have side effects that can damage your body. We see in any inoculation, you can have vaccine site injection reactions. You can see tumors develop in the site of the vaccine where it was reacted. You can have systemic reactions. You can have anaphylactic shock. They're all called adverse drug reactions, ADRs, but nothing remotely in comparison. They're two different things, two separate purposes. One is mRNA. One is an actual virus that is used to stimulate your immune system to add layers of protection, so you build an immunity to it. So hopefully that answers your questions. Dan, do you have any comments in regards to that?
Well, I think you've done a good job of differentiating between the mRNA, which is a totally new technology. We don't have any long-range testing on that to know what the long-range effect of that is. So I would be really hesitant to recommend getting that. And generally speaking, a vaccine is good for only about 3 months to six anyway. So all those things can be brought into your decision-making process.
And Amy Ellen, I wouldn't even call this vaccine, COVID vaccine, a vaccine. It's technically not a vaccine by any form of the definition. An inoculation, a vaccine, immunotherapy, nothing. It's nothing remotely related to that. You are getting an injection with a specific purpose to weaponize your body to potentially start shedding the virus and then build up an immunity because you've weaponized your body, among the other things that we've discussed that are problems with the inoculation. Everyone knows my view on it. Dan, I think everybody knows my view on it. I've done multiple videos. I'm about to do another one from the Johnson & Johnson inoculation, so they call it, or injection. Whether you choose to or do not get it is your decision. It's between you and your family and the Lord. I'm here to bring facts, and hopefully, Amy Ellen, that helps you a little bit.
It does. Would you be hesitant in taking a flu vaccine yourself, just a regular flu vaccine or a pneumonia vaccine?
So I obviously cannot give medical advice to anybody over the air by any means, and this might not be for you. Me personally, I do not get the flu vaccine. Most people who I know who get the flu vaccine actually have flu-like symptoms. What's the point if you're going to be down and out for 3 days anyway? Might as well get the flu. The virus mutates and changes rapidly, and usually by the time the inoculation comes out, it's already mutated. So for me to continually be inoculated with something that I'm going to get over, that there's modern medicine for, I can hydrate, I can stay healthy, I can eat right, I can recover, it's nonsense for me and my personal convictions to do so. I have been inoculated when I travel and I go overseas to third world countries against things that are going to protect me just because of the ramifications and the location of where I am, versus, you know, not having those issues in America and having other forms of herd immunity in America. So I know that it's a lot. There's reasons behind the method of the madness for a lot of people. I'm not by any means an anti-vaxxer. I'm a common sensor. And if it doesn't make sense, it doesn't make sense. So hopefully that helps, Amy Ellen.
That helps very, very much, and I read between the lines, too, and I thank you for all of your input regarding this. So thank you very much, Shannon and Dan.
Hey, thank you very much, and stay on the line. We'll get you some information. If you haven't seen the two videos I've already done on COVID, maybe the producers can get you that downstairs, and you can watch those and stay tuned for a third. We have a lot of information coming out, and we want everyone to be informed, so thank you again for calling, Amy Ellen. You know, Dan, we have 37 seconds left before the break. I want to encourage everybody to know Mike Kessler is coming back. He's off this week till Thursday. He will be on to Every Man and Answer hosting as usual. He will be stateside. He will not be in Hawaii, so we're blessed to have him back. And, of course, he will be back at the River Christian Fellowship this Sunday, bringing you God's word. I'm pretty sure he's coming back in the book of Genesis as he left off before he went. We're excited to welcome him back, and we know all of you are as well. If you want to be part of the program, call 8888, ask CSN, talk to my friend Dan Steiner here, and we'll answer your questions. God bless. See you at the other end of the break.
Maybe you've heard about MediShare and you know what it is. It's the affordable alternative to health insurance, but you've wondered, can I really save a significant amount of money on my monthly healthcare bills? And the answer is an emphatic yes, you can. You could save a lot of money. Whether it's just for you or for an entire family, MediShare has an option for you. In fact, the typical family saves $500 a month switching to MediShare. And it really is the gold standard when it comes to healthcare sharing. You get free telehealth services, you get a huge network of doctors, you get great customer support, and you get the sense of security that comes from being a part of 400,000 people who share not just each other's medical bills, but purpose too. MediShare is a community of Christians who pull together and pray for each other, which is very refreshing right now. If you want more info, it's so simple. You can get a price within 2 minutes. Call 855-91-BIBLE. That's 855-91-BIBLE. 855-91-BIBLE.
CSN International, where God's word is heard. We broadcast on almost 400 stations nationwide, including multiple stations in Idaho. You can listen in great cities like Twin Falls, Boise, Cascade, Ketchum, and many more great cities throughout Idaho. Get a full station list or listen anywhere in the world at csnradio.com. CSN, the Christian Satellite Network.
Worship music that exalts the Lord. Words and lyrics that lift up His name. Reach to me, trust in the Lord, be set apart. Expressions of worship from believers all across the world. Trust in the Lord. Heavenly sounds of praise to the King. Right here on the Christian Satellite Network.
Hi, and welcome back to Every Man an Answer. I'm your host today, Shannon Skolton, filling in for Pastor Mike Kessler with Dan Steiner from Preborn Ministries, a partner and a friend. We're so blessed to have him on. He's been tremendous in his organization and his ministry and saving the lives of unborn babies everywhere with your help as the Christian body and the community, helping get ultrasounds to different places that we can provide health care, and so everyone can see that little baby when they're in that center and make a decision to choose life. We're so blessed to have him. Dan, we're so blessed to have you from the back of the first hour, or the first half hour, I should say. We're not an hour and a half anymore. We're only an hour. And we're blessed to be part of everything you're doing to save lives.
Well, it's one thing to talk about these things, Shannon, about being pro-life and about the gospel, but it's another thing to actually do something about it, and that's what CSN has done. If you're listening to CSN today, I just really want to encourage you to seriously consider being a tower keeper, make a good donation. It's one of the most pro-life things you can do. I say this because I run the largest pro-life organization in America. CSN is a tremendous way to express your desire to help young women in unplanned pregnancies. If it wasn't for CSN, thousands of women would not have chosen life this year and last year. And so it's just a blessing to have this God-ordained partnership, Shannon.
You know what, Dan, I say it all the time. I might be a little biased, but I do believe CSN has the best Christian listeners of any radio station out there. Such sure. Big hearts, right? They're just amazing people, and we're blessed to have every single one of the listeners support CSN and Dan Steiner. It's been a blessing just seeing what God has done through all of the chaos that we saw last year and even the year before with even infanticide and abortion, but killing babies outside the womb. We had to deal with that, didn't we, Dan?
You know, marketing baby parts, of course, that's been happening for years, both at the federal level and at Planned Parenthood and various laboratories profiting off of late-term abortions and it's just a barbaric thing. But the answer to it is, you know, the compassion of Jesus Christ and giving women practical help, you know, maternity clothes and doctor visits and diapers and cribs and car seats and things that they need. And most of all, walking beside them in that with true friendship and the gospel. So this is what we're doing together, CSN and Preborn Ministry.
What do you say, Dan? We get this sometimes from combative people, Christian, non-Christian, what have you, who listen to CSN and other organizations. It's common in the Christian realm to say, you know what, you're doing all of these things for pro-life, and I'm a Christian, and I'm not a pro-life, I'm pro-choice, and what are you going to do for the baby outside of the womb? You want to save this baby, but how, Dan, are you going to help the mom and maybe the significant other or the family take care of that baby? What steps do you as an organization take?
It's a very valid question, and so often accused by pro-lifers, and in some cases with validity. But in the case of what we're doing together, CSN and Preborn, is that we're offering women help at the time of crisis, counseling, ultrasounds, but then for 2 years, we'll walk with them with layettes, which contain baby clothes and diapers. They can come back to us at any point for baby food, whatever they need. It's one thing to say to a woman, you shouldn't have an abortion, but then what are we going to do? And she says, okay, so you're going to help me practically to do this? And this is exactly what we're doing together, Shannon, is we're empowering these young women to make the choice, not only giving them the truth of their baby's humanity, but also the practical compassion, which is emulated by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He didn't just teach people. He fed them. He healed them. Practical, loving ministry tied to truth. The two-edged sword of the Spirit. Love and truth is what forwards kingdom work across every missionary endeavor in the pregnancy center movement. And the fight against abortion is no different. It's the most effective thing. Protest is not where it's at. Legislation is still legal in all 50 states. But today, we've saved dozens and dozens of babies' lives just by caring for these women during and after the pregnancy. So,
you know what? And that's what we do. We walk the walk. We don't just talk the talk as believers. So again, thank you everybody who supports CSN and also Preborn Ministries. Again, if you want to be part of the program, 8888-ASK-CSN. We'll answer your questions from a biblical worldview from the Bible. Let's go to Mike in Hawaii. Hi, Mike.
Hello. Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Great. Thank you for taking my call.
Absolutely.
I actually have two questions.
Shoot.
One of them I've heard on radio and from the pulpit, preachers preaching something called the imminent return of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Imminent meaning there's nothing left that has to happen, and it can happen at any instant. I was reading in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, and the first verse says, "Now we request you, brethren, with regard to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and the gathering together to him." Now, some people say that's two things. The first part of the verse is what they call the second advent, when he comes at the end of the 7 years. And the second part is the rapture. And the first part refers to verse 3. Well, grammatically, that's not correct. You'd have to have the second part if that was true. But it looks to me like that's talking about the rapture, that whole verse, saying we're going to talk about the rapture. And then second verse, it mentions the day of the Lord. I looked up day of the Lord. It doesn't refer to any particular day. It's used 6 times in the New Testament, 18 times in the Old. Even in the New Testament, in the 2 Peter 3:10, it says day of the Lord, and it talks about the melting of the elements at the end of the millennium. But verse 3 says, "Let no one in any way deceive you. It will not come unless the apostasy comes first, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction." Now, I can't see anything in this verse except saying we're going to talk about the rapture, and these two things have to happen first. If these two things have to happen first, then I can't see how the doctrine of imminence is a biblical doctrine. I have a second question, but
let's unpack that one a little bit. Dan, your thoughts first, and then I'll carry on the backside.
Yeah, and so a day with the Lord is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like a day. And so my counsel in all of these things, you know, the Jewish faith has everything ready to build the temple. They can put that thing up in literally just weeks. They're waiting for the day. There's a lot of things that are in place. Of course, Israel as a nation being the most significant thing for the return of Christ and the man of lawlessness that you talk about. But I think the most important thing is the counsel of Jesus Christ here, which says, you know, be ye ready, for you do not know the day or the time when the Son of Man comes. And so imminent return of Christ, I'm not sure, and no man does, the day or the hour. Jesus said himself, when the Son of Man comes, except the Father himself, Jesus himself doesn't know. But we do know this. Any moment, any one of us could leave the earth. And the most important thing is, are we ready personally to meet the Lord? And of course, if he comes before then, as it says in Thessalonians, with the sound of the last trump and the voice of the archangel, that would be great. Can't happen soon enough for me.
There's a lot of conjecture and debate about the rapture and the pre-tribulation view and imminence. This is centuries old. This is nothing new, and there are a lot of confusing things about it. I'm not going to sit here and pretend to you that I'm extremely well-versed as others in regards to this specific topic, but what I do know is what the Bible says and what you just read. Paul addresses in 2 Thessalonians 2 the issue of the forged letter that had shaken the minds of the troubled people of the believers at that time in Thessalonica. He was writing specifically to them. There were issues that he was addressing. In his rebuttal to this letter, he speaks of two events, okay? I want to make that clear. The coming of the day of the Lord Jesus Christ, that was the first one that we had discussed. And that's extremely important because that's referring to something specific, Christ's return and his rule on the earth. And the gathering together unto him, which refers to the saints being caught up in a way in the message, which was in 1 Thessalonians, I think 4:16 through 17, as I'm looking at my Bible. He informed them that the day of Christ had not yet occurred. They thought that they had been left behind. they were petitioning him saying, hey, what had happened? This is what's going on. We're confused. Has the return come? And he was petitioning them saying, hey, don't worry about it. These things have to happen first before the return of Christ Jesus. He was giving them comfort. It was supposed to be a very comforting a letter to them and a monologue back to them. We need to understand that there are so many things that are wrapped into conjecture where people twist scripture that it can cause more confusion. As Dan said, nobody knows the day or the hour of Christ's return. He can return at any time. And we need to be ready. We need to be rapture ready at all times because we're supposed to be walking the walk that Christ has called us to walk in relationship with him, in spirit and in truth, worshiping him under the power of the Holy Spirit, doing what we are called to do on this earth. He is God and he is sovereign and he's outside of time and space. We need to understand that as well. And the things that he looks at in the hearts of men and the falling away and the perception we have, which is valid and biblical of what's happening right now with the falling away and the separation of the wheat and the chaff, might be a little bit different in God's eyes. And we need to also remind ourselves of that, that what we see is true, but what God sees is also the heart of man that we cannot see. And so we need to be ready. And at every generation, it seems as if Satan has already had an antichrist prepared just in case. But there were certain things that had to happen. So how I like to look at it is his return is imminent. And it can happen at any time. But there were historical signs that God left us to say these things have to happen. When you see these things, you're supposed to be even more zealous to go out and reap a harvest and be more aggressive because I've given you all these things and I've foretold of these things so you can be empowered because, hey, the day is at hand and I am coming. So we try to segment things and compartmentalize things and individualize certain scriptures and then make entire doctrines out of things that aren't necessarily beneficial for the church and they cause more confusion. My acknowledgement would be we need to be ready at all times. His return is imminent and can happen at any time. He gave us warnings. Those can happen at any time. It doesn't take thousands of years for an antichrist to come or the falling away of the church. It could be in a day. Because we have to understand what we're dealing with is in the spiritual realm. We're looking at everything from a fleshly perspective, but there's a spiritual war going on. There's a spiritual battle. And how things manifest in the spiritual realm is different than how they manifest maybe specifically here on earth. We see the actions of spiritual behavior manifesting through people, but we don't see the spiritual realm. We do need to put on our spiritual eyes and our spiritual ears, and we need to hear and we need to see what's going on. We need to be praying in the spirit. We need to be discerning and praying for discernment, but we need to be going out and living every day as if he is returning, because that is what the Bible says, and he can come at any moment. So those who want to debunk pre-tribulationalism with imminence and put holes in the attack, there is so much in Scripture, strong doctrine supporting pre-tribulation doctrine from 1 Corinthians 1:7 and Philippians 3:20 and 4:5 and 1 Thessalonians 1:10 and all these, we can go on, 1 Peter, that when we start pulling other things out, it does nothing but cause confusion. And I would like to combat those arguments by saying, what is the harm in being ready at any time? There's none. And what is the harm of saying, hey, these things have to happen? There's none. What it should do is, again, ignite a fire and a zeal within you to go out and say, hey, my God prophesied about this. You know, I think 1/3 of the Bible is prophecy. There's more about his return than him even walking the earth at that time. And we need to be ready. And this is happening. And we don't want you to get hit by the train if you're on the train track. Brother, we want to tell you when the train is coming to get off the track. And that's how we should look at all things pre-tribulation, in my opinion, because regardless, if your heart is in the right place, you're always going to be ready. And the doctrine of his imminent return versus pre-tribulationism versus we're all millennialists, there's so much nonsense out there. We believe in the pre-tribulation rapture, and that is the biblical principles that we stand by and that there is solid doctrine for. So hopefully that helps answer your question a little bit.
I understand your view. I still see verse 1 as just talking about the rapture. But my second question is similar to this, in that I've heard preachers on the radio, and I've heard them from the pulpit and other people, talked about their particular view of end time prophecy, as if you don't believe it, you're not going to go to heaven. This is a non-essential. We can disagree on this and still go to heaven. And I believe you can die at any instant. But we can disagree on the eschatology part of it and still make it into heaven. So why aren't certain people willing to discuss this and even have an open-minded? If I have scriptures to talk about it, why are they so closed-minded that they won't even hear? You can't even discuss it with them.
Eschatology views are not foundational in salvation, right? We know that there's foundational things that we all believe in as Christians. You know, Jesus was born of a virgin. He was the Son of God. He was 100% man, 100% God. He died on the cross. He was crucified. He was prophesied about. He rose on the third day. He's alive. We are going to rule and reign with him forever. And that there's principles that we follow in the gospel. And there are gray areas in scripture, which is where you get your branches, specifically different legalistic ideas or maybe different churches and their theology. Where it becomes a problem is, yes, in one way you're right, your eschatological view doesn't dictate your salvation. But where there's views in eschatology that can be either blasphemous or twist scripture, I think we need to heed the warning and be careful not to misconstrue scripture, not to add or take away from this book, to read the Bible from the Bible and using it as its lens to reveal itself through the power of the Holy Spirit, nothing more, nothing less. Because there are some denominations and there's some doctrine that's being taught that is blasphemous or heretical that is directly tied to eschatological views. Maybe not all of them. Maybe a lot of them still have good hermeneutics and there's gray area between pre and mid and trib and post-tribulation. And again, God knows the heart of salvation, and that's not going to dictate whether you go to heaven or not. God is, and he knows your heart. And if you've accepted him and you're his disciple, and if you're walking and abiding in him, but we do need to be careful when those views start erring in the way of heresy. Dan, your thoughts?
Yeah, it's a good long-standing, centuries-old Christian motto is that in essentials, we should have unity, which you did a good job of rolling those out, Shannon, the virgin birth and the death, burial, resurrection, deity of Christ. Those things, essentials, are we are united on. Non-essentials, we have liberty. You can be pre-trib, you can be post-trib, you can be mid-trib, but it's not a salvation issue. But in all things, charity, where that charity's missing, I think is revelatory of where the person's coming from. So people often build doctrines and organizations on truth that they're unwilling to yield on. But we just need to be like the Bereans, searching the scriptures daily to see if these things are so, that we can be confident that we're rightly dividing the word of truth on these issues. I think you've got a good sense of it there, Mike. Obviously, you're concerned about it, and I think you've got a good position.
Amen to that, Mike. I hope that helps. Stay on the line. We'll get you some CDs and books and DVDs, maybe 101 prophecies you can look and read. And yeah, let's be unified. Let's not divide and cannibalize each other as believers. Let's stay strong. There's a world out there that needs saving. And if we're fighting amongst ourselves about nonsense, guess what? It's one less person that we're out saving for the kingdom of heaven through the power of Jesus Christ. Let's go ahead and go to Barbara in Covington, Kentucky. Barbara, hi and welcome.
Yes. Hi. Yeah, I have a question about fasting. I've heard you on your Sunday program talk about fasting and things, but I was wondering if you had some information maybe you could send me about, you know, what fasting is for and how you do it. And because I have a friend that she called me up a while ago and said that she's still on this Daniel fast, mm-hmm. and that she's the way she's talking kind of like a robot and stuff, and said that she's going to be oppressed for 10 days by the devil. So the book of Revelation says that she's going to be oppressed for 10 days, and then after that, the oppression is going to be over and things like that. I mean, how would she know all that stuff?
Okay, yeah. So prayer and fasting, Dan, you can chime in on this as well, but it's wonderful that you asked this question because I'm going through this with my women's group on Wednesdays. We've been going through effective prayer and fasting and spiritual warfare for a couple months. It's a wonderful study. I do have notes. I'd be more than happy to have our producer send to you in regards to notes from the Bible study itself. There's a lot of great YouTube videos that you actually can watch on effective prayer and fasting. Derek Prince does a great one on prayer and fasting that I like. It's solid. There's no weird stuff in it, and it gives you biblical foundation for the premise that we are called to pray. We are expected to pray. It's not if you pray or if you fast. It's when you pray and when you fast. There's an expectation there in the Word of God that is something that we as believers need to be practicing. Fasting is an afflicting of your spirit and a submission of yourself before God so that He is the one who sustains you. You are leveling yourself out. You are laying yourself out before the Lord. You are submitting your sins before Him. You are getting rid of your pride and your arrogance and your thought process. And you are saying, you know what? I am a willing vessel. I need you to feed me. I need you to speak to me. I need you to minister to me. And therefore, the Holy Spirit is being welcomed into your life in a way that will change you completely. You're depending on Him to be your food and to be everything that you need to be fed spiritually, and He sustains your body. There's spiritual implications to fasting for drawing closer to the Lord and petitioning the throne. There's also health reasons why the Bible discusses fasting, and we read about it in Isaiah, where it had physical benefits for fasting, that His body would heal quicker because the blood that was used to digest the food was now being able to go to the other parts of the extremities of His body, and He can heal quicker. So there's multiple reasons why fasting is recommended, and the Jews practice it still. But I would love to give you the information on it and help you understand a little bit about why it's so important, because when you have prayed and you have done everything you can and something is not changing in your life, even the Word of God says that some demons and spiritual warfare that takes place in demonization in people only comes out by prayer and fasting, because it's not under your power. There's nothing you're going to do. It is totally and wholly Jesus in your life and the Holy Spirit that's going to intervene and remove the spiritual warfare before you. And that's in all things in our life. We need to remember that we need to submit to the will of God and put our preconceptions and ideas aside. So I would love to give that to you. It's something we all need to practice, again, under maybe the direction of your doctor if there's other things that you struggle with or you deal with. But it's something that I do routinely, and I encourage my women and my women's fellowship to do so. It's not something we need to only do when we're really afflicted. It's something that we need to practice in reverence to a holy and righteous God. Dan, your thoughts?
That's a really wonderful description of it, Shannon. It's found throughout Scripture, both the Old Testament and the New Testament, of the efficacy of fasting. They fasted before they set Paul and Barnabas aside. Esther called for a national fast when they were under attack by Haman to execute the entire Jewish population. And so it's putting down of the flesh. We know from Romans that the flesh sets itself against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh, that you might not be able to do the things that you should. Fasting is the weapon against that. It humbles and disciplines us to the things of the Spirit, and it's a mighty weapon in the hands of the Christian. As to your friend's certainty that she's going to be attacked for 10 days because of demons, Scripture doesn't really tell us anything definitive about that. Certainly, I don't think Satan likes us fasting, but I don't think that, you know, it says in 1 John, little children, now you're... the whole world lies in the power of the enemy, but you're of God. He cannot touch you. So one of the best things you can do to deter the activity of Satan in your life or your friend's life is to follow a God-ordained, Spirit-led fast. Jesus fasted as our example, 40 days before he even began his ministry. If there's a big decision in your life or a new chapter that you're turning in your life, fasting is a great way to precursor that. So it's a great discipline to learn, and it sounds like Shannon's got a great resource for it there.
Oh, it's amazing. It'll benefit you in many ways. And, you know, it's not that we fast so that Jesus and is a crystal ball and we're going to fast and all of a sudden we're going to get the answer that we want for afflictions and issues in our life. We fast in reverence to Him, because we understand who He is, that we fear Him and we love Him, and that He has the best interest for us in our lives, that Jesus can take the wheel and that He can intercede and intervene for us where we need Him to, knowing that whatever the outcome might be, that it is for the benefit of us as saints, so that we can continue to do what we've been called to do. But it does take humbling ourselves, and it takes humbling and not being prideful. Spiritual warfare is going to happen whether you're praying and walking with God. You're going to be attacked. And Satan doesn't really try to derail people who are already not walking. When you're walking with the Lord and you're in relationship with Him and you're abiding in Him, you're going to be attacked. When you pray and fast, yeah, there might be an increased potential of spiritual warfare. And guess what you do? You turn around, you fast more, and you pray more. Because we need to count it joy when we endure various trials, because it's not just for our perseverance, but it's for our patience, and so that the work can be completed through us that God has called us to do. Rough paraphrase there of James. But hopefully that helps. It's not to be regimented or robotic. It's to be in passionate love, an agape love that Christ has for us and our love that we have for Him. Dan, thank you for being on. That's it. That's the time we have for today's program. It's been an amazing hour. I will be back tomorrow, and I will be with Jeff Wickwire. I'm excited to be with you guys. Be blessed, and good night.
To find out more about this ministry or to receive a copy of today's program, please call 1-800-357-4226 or write us to Every Man an Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes Store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.
The preceding program was brought to you by Tower Keepers. Support your local CSN station.